Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Real Fake Baseball podcast for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I am your host, Paul Martin, at Paul the Martin on Twitter, if you want to go follow me out there. And I'm here with my co-host, but I mean, he hosts his own stuff as well. I don't even feel right calling you a co-host anymore. But Walter McMichael is right here on Skype with me, at Real Fake Walter, if you want to find him on Twitter. Walter, why don't you tell the people what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here trying to think of what I host right now.
I mean, well, you kind of do your own thing. You know, you're out here doing other podcasts now. Like, you're writing stuff for Friends with Fantasy Benefits, too. I feel like you're finally starting to just, like, sow your oats out here in the fantasy baseball world. And I don't feel right calling you co-host anymore.
Yeah, I'm no longer being the lazy bastard that I normally am.
You're no longer just chilling and recording one podcast a week and just acting like you're part of this. A month. Well, yeah. I mean, we go through stretches.
We're going through a strong stretch right now.
Real strong.
With these previews, because we signed up for quite a few, or I signed us up for quite a few. You're welcome. Yes.
Well, I mean, I no longer support Mark Zuckerberg anymore, so I'm not connected, I guess.
No, you're not. But we're talking about the Angels today. Angels. Yes. That's a fun one because, you know, they have the best player in fantasy.
They have the best player in baseball. And
potentially the best player in daily leagues come next year, not named Mike Trout.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get to that. But in order to start this Angels preview, we got to start with one of the most boring fantasy players in recent memory, and that's catcher Jonathan Lucroy. What are you doing with Jonathan Lucroy? Anything at all this year?
Yeah, it seems like so long ago that he was like considered the number like one, two, or three fantasy catcher.
Definitely.
And now he's just like, I don't know what happened to him.
I think he just
completely fell off.
He fell off with the bat, and I think he realized that he still had, you know, a lot of value in his glove, so that's kind of just what he focused on, and he's going to help their team for sure. A lot of young pitchers, a lot of pitchers with some upside that we'll get into later, but Jonathan Lucroy is pretty much just there to help that staff and be a good defensive catcher, and the bat, it's kind of just he gets on base and doesn't do anything else. That's all you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, he didn't even get on base last year, and he's only hit 10 home runs last 2 years combined, and that's in over 900 plate appearances. So I just don't see much here. I think he's just, it's kind of interesting because, you know, he was previously good and he's going to play a ton. So maybe as a second catcher.
Yeah.
This catcher's so bad. We were talking about this before. Catcher is really, really bad.
Yeah, catcher is really bad. So as long as if you take him, it's not like it's embarrassing or anything. You know, he has had a track record a long time ago. If you're taking him as your second catcher and there's nothing else out there, then it's not the worst thing, I don't think. But at the same time, there are better upside options that are probably not going too much higher in drafts. So I would probably take a shot on a younger guy rather than Jonathan Lucroy. That's about way too much talk about Jonathan Lucroy that there ever should be on a fantasy podcast. And we should move on to first base. We could throw DH in here too because we have Justin Bour, Albert Pujols, who is still alive somehow, and then Shohei Ohtani, who's going to hit next year. We could talk about all three of these guys, or you can break them down one by one. What do you think about Justin Bour to start?
Oh, yes. We get to start with the fun one, Justin Bour.
He's a little fun.
Yeah, I think he's just like a low batting average power only guy. I do think that, especially, I believe the Angels Park, they adjusted it last year where they lowered the right field fence. So it's actually pretty decent for left-handed power. So I think we could see an uptick in Justin Bour's power. He could easily hit 30 home runs this year. It wouldn't surprise me, but the batting average might be pretty bad. So I don't know. I think he's a very interesting player to take late as like your corner infield, because in the lineup, he may be hitting behind Ohtani and Trout and Upton, which is just like a really, really nice lineup spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he's probably going to be hitting in front of guys like Angelton Simmons and Zach Cozart, who have some upside in their own right. So that lineup actually isn't too terrible if Justin Bour can pull off what he did a couple seasons ago. And I wonder if that park adjustment had anything to do with the signing of Shohei Ohtani. I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe they wanted to increase his power a little bit. But I think that he's kind of interesting as a bat only this year. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I really like Ohtani this year as a bat only. Like, he really surprised me last year. He's just, like, he's insane.
Yeah, he really is.
He's legitimately a really good hitter.
I don't know who that guy was that called him a high school hitter, but he should be banished from the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, good thing unnamed scout was able to be quoted there and people took it seriously.
I want to change my Twitter handle to unnamed scout just for a little while.
you can just talk shit about any player you want.
Anyone.
And then not be held accountable.
No, you're good.
But yeah, I mean the Steamer projections are really bullish shit. And it's only in 490 plate appearances. They have him for 26 home runs and 10 stolen bases with a 270 average.
Yeah, I could see that. Good OBP too, I'm sure. So it's going to be good in those leagues as well. I wouldn't want to miss out on him, you know, even though he's just a hitter. I think that he could easily put up like Matt Olson with a better average. Is that fair?
And stolen bases.
And a few stolen bases. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, but he could provide like fifth round value as a hitter, maybe even higher.
And I think right now, if like just speaking in like a dynasty league, if you can go get Ohtani for in especially in a daily league right now at a slight discount, you need to do it because he's going to be insane in a daily lineups league.
Yeah.
Weekly, it's going to be a little more tricky, but still, he's so talented. Like, I've legitimately never seen anything like Ohtani as a pitcher and hitter combined.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting on him in RotoMasters too, so we'll see if I get any offers after that statement. Not letting him go for cheap, that's for sure. Albert Pujols, anything you want to do with him this year, or are we just moving on?
Yeah, I think Albert is done.
Yeah. I don't even think he's going to get the playing time this year. I think they might use him as a bench bat, a pinch hitter here and there, but I really don't think he's going to be out there on the field too often because Ohtani's going to DH, Bohr's going to be a solid first baseman, and, I mean, they don't really need him.
But I will say this. If Bohr or Ohtani were to get hurt, Albert Pujols, as recently as 2017, he only hit 240, but he had 23 home runs and had 101 RBIs.
Yeah, I remember that year. I had him that year, and then that was it.
I don't think we harp on it enough, but hitting behind Mike Trout does wonders for the counting stats. And that's what I'm saying about Justin Bour. Like, Pujols was terrible. He was a 78 WRC plus that year and had 101 RBI because he hit behind Mike Trout.
Yeah.
So whoever's hitting behind Trout and plays every day is going to have monster RBI numbers.
Absolutely. Can't go wrong with that advice. That's pretty spot on. What about second base? You doing anything with David Fletcher this year? I don't think they have too many other options.
Well, they do have Tommy La Stella as well.
Yes, they do.
Which is kind of like left-handed David Fletcher.
Yes, it's pretty much just an empty batting average.
Yeah, which I think both of them have their places in deeper leagues. I think that more so La Stella. I've always kind of liked him, and he has never really had a spot on the Cubs, and he walks a ton. He gets on base a lot. I kind of like him. I think he's an interesting guy to keep in mind late in drafts because I think he could easily take over the leadoff role.
That would be huge too because there's a bonus for hitting behind Mike Trout. There's also a bonus for hitting in front of Mike Trout and Justin Upton and all of these guys. So that wouldn't be too bad. I don't know. Fletcher's not too bad. I think he could provide some interesting power and speed. Nothing too crazy. But if the average is high, he could be kind of useful too, especially in that lineup. He's going to be hitting ninth, but you know that lineup turns over pretty quick into Mike Trout. So. He's gonna get plenty of opportunities on base with Mike Trout up to bat. So
yeah, it all centers around Mike.
Yeah.
The one guy, Mike Trout, hitting second.
That's it.
The closer you are to him in the lineup,
the more you want them.
Yeah, the better they are. Like if Fletcher, I don't really think Fletcher's too much. He doesn't really have any power, and he doesn't get on base really. So
no, he's all about defense though. So he's gonna play. That team is as much based around Mike Trout as it is their defense, with Andrelton Simmons, Zach Cozart, David Fletcher, Jonathan Lucroy. That infield is pretty strong. So you know, Fletcher's gonna be in there. Listella's pretty good defensively too. I think that's gonna be a strong platoon right there. They're gonna pretty much play Listella against righties, Fletcher against lefties. So that might hurt Fletcher, but I think Fletcher is just kind of more interesting, and he's younger, and he's homegrown with LA.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Listella. Say he's more interesting.
All right,
as interesting as Tommy Listella can be,
which is pretty much just as interesting as David Fletcher, but as a lefty. So there you go. So choose your battles there. We went too far on those two guys. We might as well keep moving on to Andrelton Simmons, who's pretty interesting at shortstop. What do you think?
Yeah, I still feel like I kind of have a mental block with Simmons, and I think most of like the fantasy world does. Like he had that run where he was stealing a ton of bases, and I don't even remember what he finished with last year in stolen bases.
He had 10.
10?
Yeah, he had 11 and 10 last year.
It must have been the stolen bases must have come in 2017 then, that stolen base run.
Yeah, 19.
Trout got hurt. Yeah, so I guess he's pretty safe for like a 10-10 year. He makes a ton of contact. He doesn't walk a ton, but he still gets on base enough. It seems like he's like a really safe batting average guy now. That's kind of what he's turned himself into. But yeah, I just don't see too much upside here is the issue.
No, I agree. That's pretty much all to see with Andrelton Simmons. It's just batting average. Little power, probably double digit again in power and speed, but nothing over 15, I would say, in either of those categories. So just depends on where you get him, I guess, and what you have for shortstop, because he's going to play every single day. There's no doubt about that. I mean, his glove is way too good to not be in that defense, and his bat is decent enough to be in that lineup. So not too much. Nothing too exciting with Andrelton Simmons, but just a really good player all around.
Yeah, he's a great real-life player.
Yeah. Zach Cozart next. Probably going to start off the season at third base. He's going to move around a little bit, most likely. He could get into some second base, too, and maybe pick up some extra eligibility. But right now, he's at third base, and I kind of like Zach Cozart. I don't know where he's going in drafts. I would be interested to see if you have that ADP information up still, where Zach Cozart is going.
But he's going 447 overall.
Yeah, so people are not buying a comeback from Zach Cozart, and I kind of like that.
Well, he's going one pick ahead of Justin Bour.
Oh, but, nice. So you can get your corner infielders for cheap with the Angels.
Yeah, I don't want Zach Cozart, though.
No?
I think he's like a 15 to 18 home run guy, like a 250 batting average kind. It's kind of just whatever.
Yeah,
I think 2017 was definitely his outlier season, and he's mainly like what you said, that defense. Like he should be a good defensive player, so he'll play a ton, but I'm not really sure that helps him in fantasy.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that 297 average was huge for him that year. I think that's what kind of carried him. And the BABIP wasn't really high either. He just had really good plate discipline that year, and it was kind of came out of nowhere. So we'll see if he could bring that back. You kind of hope. If his average is like 270, 280 with the 15 home runs, that would be a lot nicer. And especially if he's going around 450. So I would probably be taking a shot just to see if you can get that. You know, like if you could get that 270, 280 batting average that late in the draft with the 15 home runs. Because I think 15 home runs is solid for Cozart if he plays. Every season he's had 500 plate appearances, he's had 15 home runs except for one season. But the batting average was never there like 2017. So I think that's what I'm kind of buying into, is can he get back to that 270 batting average range, which he was at for 2016 and 2017. So he has a track record of hitting 270. It's all about getting back to that. I guess we can move to the outfield now, though. Where do you want to start? You want to start in left or right?
We can start in left.
Okay,
left.
So let's start with Justin Upton, because he's always solid. I don't really have anything bad to say about Justin Upton. What about you?
Yeah, you kind of just know what you're getting with Upton. Yeah. You're getting a guy who's probably going to hit like 250. Maybe he'll get it up to 270 if he has a good BABIP year like he did in 2017. For the most part, it's going to be in the 250 to 260 range. And he's going to hit 30 home runs and probably steal close to 10 bases. And he's going to have good counting stats in that lineup. I think he's just like a solid like outfield too.
Yeah, and where's he going in drafts? Just curious, because I feel
he's going 90th overall. Right,
so that's
now,
that's
which is a nice price.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a good
pretty
price
good value though for Justin Upton, especially since you're going to get those double digit stolen bases most likely. Yeah, really like Upton this year. I think he's always solid. Can't go wrong with that pick. And Mike Trout is next, so he's number one. There's no doubt in your mind. Please tell
me. Oh yeah,
me.
Okay. Trout number one, any format. Redraft, dynasty, anything.
Yeah, don't overthink this, people.
Mike Trout is number one. He's just – he's amazing.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy to see he had a 20.4% K rate last year and almost had the same walk rate. He's a monster. Like, Steamer projects 40 home runs and 20 stolen bases.
Yeah, light.
Hitting 300.
That's light. Yeah, I can't wait to watch Mike Trout this year. That's all I got to say about that one. And then, yeah. Cole, yeah, go ahead. You have more to say
just,
about Mike Trout?
No, please. I just said, yeah. Just,
yeah, that's it. Just agree. Let's move to Cole Calhoun. And I hope Cowboy can have a nice year. I wonder, where is he going in drafts? I have to know.
Calhoun, I would guess, is going really late.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's going 364 overall. I don't know. I don't see any upside here. So I'm not one that – it's kind of like the Zach Cozart thing. It's like, I know I'll just find someone I like better
at
that point, because he's going to hit, what, like 18, 19, like high teens home runs. He doesn't really have a very good batting average. He doesn't really steal bases. He's projected to lead off, and I don't see – how he leads off while with his OBP being like so just okay.
Right. I don't know. I always seem to buy into Cole Calhoun somewhere on some team. I'm hoping not to have that many teams this year, but I think I do have him somewhere already.
I think it's because you like bad players.
I love bad players. So don't draft Cole Calhoun, people. Just don't. Just don't do it. Sometimes you just need to not listen to me. Okay, that's all I have to say. Moving on to pitching. What do you think about the pitching staff this year? Is there anyone that sticks out to you? And I know who you're going to say right off the bat, but I have to ask the question like I don't.
Yeah, I mean, their pitching staff is pretty good. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, being the Trevor Cahill truther that I am.
Yeah,
he's the one that interests me, because it's like, yeah, he might. Oh, okay. Let me rephrase that. It's not he might. When he gets hurt,
right,
you will be able to either DL him or you can just cut him. But when he pitches,
he's good.
He's good. Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
He was really good in 2017 and then came back after an injury and was really bad, and it kind of destroyed his numbers. But he showed some really, really elite stuff. And then last year, he had a 3.76 ERA in 110 innings with peripherals that back it up, and that's a good starting pitcher. And he's going – I think I said it was 380 overall.
Yeah, he's going 390 slightly
overall.
Later than Matt Harvey.
Yeah, he's going behind Tyler Anderson and CeCe. And
yeah, I'll take Trevor Cahill all day right there, because like you said, when he pitches, he's good, and no one drafts him like he's Rich Hill, but he can pretty much put up those same numbers depending on the innings that he gets.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same K rate as Rich Hill, but he's
right.
Still just like he's like a lighter version of Rich Hill, because he gets the strikeouts. He walks a little bit too much, but he's a good like he's a ground ball pitcher, so he's going to be a like high threes, maybe low fours ERA, And then last year he had a 1.19 whip, which is really good. So it's just like all around when he pitches, he's good.
Yeah, it's hard to hit him. Like, he gives up the walks, but it's hard to get hits off of him. So that's kind of where he equals out that that whip, which is kind of nice. Yeah, I'm taking Cahill all day. The Angels rotation is interesting because it's like a Dodgers light. Like, it's like just like yeah. Trevor Cahill
they're just,
is.
They're just missing Kershaw and Walker Buehler.
Yeah, Trevor Cahill is. Trevor Cahill is Rich Hill light, and the entirety of the Angels rotation is the Dodgers light, because they have just so many starting pitchers that I feel could get some run, including some guys in the minor leagues like Griffin Canning, and I guess Jamie Barria was already up last year and should get that fifth spot this year. But there are some interesting names in there, including Matt Harvey. Does anyone else stick out to you? We talked about how Heaney and Skaggs are going so high. Are you touching them in any draft this year?
I think I honestly, they're both really interesting. So, yeah. So this is part of the issue. So in this area where they're going is the time that really makes or breaks your drafts, especially with the starting pitcher. That's when you either find the guys that kind of take the next step or provide the regular value, or the ones that just completely tank your season, which happens a lot, honestly, in this starting pitcher range. I think Heaney is pretty solid. I think he's kind of like a he's gonna be a guy that will give you a low whip, and he should have a pretty good ERA. I would think like high threes ERA, and he averages a strikeout per inning. So I think he's good for where he's going. Tyler Skaggs and the problem is both of these guys have been very injury prone.
Right.
In their careers, so
long-term injuries too. Not like Cahill.
I think Skaggs is the much better value because he's going later and showed similar skills last year. So I think they're pretty similar pitchers, but
they're the same age too. They're literally the same pitcher, same handedness, same age.
Yeah, Heaney's getting the bump because he pitched more innings last year, which is fair, but. I'm not sure you can count on him having more innings this year just because both of these guys are so injury prone. So I think you have to be a little cautious, like counting on them on multiple teams, but I think they're going in the right place.
I agree. I like both of those guys. Matt Harvey, you don't like him. You never like him.
No, I'm good on Matt Harvey.
Good on Matt Harvey. Yeah, I think if I'm faced with the decision between Trevor Cahill and Matt Harvey, I'm taking Trevor Cahill all day. And I'll probably take him a few rounds ahead just to make sure I get him. But their bullpen was good last year, and I don't really know why. But Ty Buttrey, I know you kind of like him, no?
I love Ty Buttrey.
He's not bad.
He's good. No, he's good. Like, yeah, he legitimately has like closer stuff that you're looking for.
Yeah. And Boston just gave him away.
Yeah, he closed out games for them last year. He has elite skills. It's like I'm not sure why he's not flying up draft boards, but if you can invest in him for cheap, definitely go get him, cuz you know, 14% swinging strike rate, 72% zone contact, so he's dominating in the zone. He pretty much only has the fastball changeup right now, but the fastball is 96, so it's like he's out there pumping gas, and he's got a 10-mile-per-hour difference between his fastball and changeup. So I don't know, man. I really like him. I think he's one of those guys that you're like is a really good investment as your second closer that you get late that could be a top 10 to top 5 closer.
Yeah, definitely, especially if he gets the opportunities all year. We'll see what Brad Ausmus does with the bullpen, but I don't think that any other name is really going to push him for the job. Justin Anderson seems like just a guy, really. He's okay. Bedrosian just always gets hurt. Hansel Robles has been around forever, and if you go past that, there's really no one that's just jumping out at me. Ty Buttrey seems like the guy, and I think he is good enough to hold that job all year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going behind right now in the NFBC. He's going behind guys like Alex Colome He's going behind Trevor May. I actually like Trevor May a lot as well. He's going behind Steckenrider, Dellin Betances, who's not going to close games. I mean, I think we know that. He's going behind Ottavino, who doesn't even have a job, and we don't know if he's going to be the closer then. Minter, who's like a setup guy right now. I would guess Vizcaino is the closer at the moment. So it's like he's going behind Michael Givens, who's not very good. So he's he's going behind a lot of relief pitchers who either have the job and aren't good or don't have a job and are just not going to get saves really. And he's, at least from everything we've seen, he's really good and should be the closer.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to touch on if you have any other guys that you think can impact the team, whether it's, you know, Matt Theis or Taylor Ward, Griffin Canning, Nick Tropiano, any of those guys kind of stick out to you? There's hanging around on the 40-man roster, could get a shot at any point, I think.
I've always liked Nick Tropiano. I don't know why he's always been able to get, like, so he's had decent peripherals, but he's another one of those guys who's never stayed healthy. So I don't know. I think if he comes up and he's the fifth starter over Jaime Barria,
which could happen.
Yeah, when one of these guys gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's gonna get some major league innings. We'll have to see how he is because he's been injured a lot, and I don't know if like he's got all of his stuff back. So we'll have to see there, but he's kind of interesting, but yeah, there's not much.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's, I mean, ready.
If Taylor Ward could play second base, he might be more interesting than David Fletcher or Tommy La Stella.
Yeah, maybe he's a third baseman, so they could always move Cozart to second.
That's true too. Yeah,
so that could be an option.
He was pretty good for them last year at the end of the year. He had 14 home runs on the season, 12 stolen bases. That's not, you know, that's pretty good. His average was trash when he got to the league, but he did hit .352 in AAA, which is
he crushed AA and AAA last year.
So he could be pretty interesting. Keep an eye on Taylor Ward if he's up to start the season. He could easily overstep David Fletcher for that spot.
Yeah, he's more interesting than Cozart or any of those other guys.
Definitely.
Honestly,
because he's gonna add the stolen bases where Cozart can't, and I think his average is gonna be a lot better. Last year 178. He's never hit that bad. I mean, his worst average was .242 in a 247 plate appearance sample in high.
Yeah, and it's his first. So, it's his first taste of the majors.
Exactly, and he hit 6 home runs and he had 2 stolen bases. You know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't all around bad.
Yeah, he's never struggled with strikeouts either. So
right.
So I'm not too concerned with that. Now that I think about it a little more, he is kind of interesting, especially in like a draft and hold, to draft late to maybe get you a little bit of power, a little bit of speed.
Yeah, and I want to know just out of my own pure curiosity, do you think that we see Joe Adell at any time next year?
You know, I was going to ask you that.
I think we do.
It all depends on – it's two things. So first, they have to be competing.
Right.
That's the first and foremost thing. It doesn't matter – if they're not competing, there's no chance. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is he needs to be kind of destroying AA. Which he can. He did struggle there. It was a very brief appearance in AA. But yeah, I think I could see it coming together where we get him for last 2 months of the season, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
If they're competing and he's crushing AA, I think it's very unlikely, maybe like a 5% chance. But I think there's a chance. I think it's more likely we see Luis Rengifo.
All right. Well, that's not as exciting.
You're not a Luis Rengifo guy? That's a guy that could be interesting as their second baseman.
Yeah. Well, I think
he doesn't strike out, he walks a ton, steals bases.
I personally think if they are in it, he's definitely going to be up. So it all depends. I feel like the percentage of him coming up is basically whatever percentage you think the Angels will be competing at the end of the year.
Well, if he's not doing well in Double A, you don't really want to push him.
No, but I think that, like, with his speed and stuff, like, I feel like if they're almost going towards the playoffs and the minor league season ends, he could be used as a pinch runner off the bench.
You're talking about Odell?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to use him as a pinch runner, though.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, he could, they might want to bring him up, use him just when they can, have him on the roster, you know, playing with those guys in key situations at the end of the year. If he's not playing in the minor leagues, I think that might be a good situation for him.
Yeah, you just don't want to burn service time on someone like that. He's too good to do that with. This isn't Terrence Gore.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, burning service time, like they might only burn like 26 plate appearances. Like it'll be fine.
Yeah, but it's like days. Days. Yeah.
All right.
That's days that they're missing the following season.
Yeah. That's a fun way to look at it, Walter. I really enjoy your
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm going with the realistic view.
Can you hold your nose while you say shit like this just so I could
if you look at it this way, he might he's going to run out of days by the end.
We're going to see Luis Rengifo. I'm
great.
Pretty sure.
All right, well, look for Luis Rengifo out there.
You'll
guys.
You'll be happy with
at
that.
At the end of remember from now till when do you think Luis Rengifo will come up? Remember this name. Till August.
You don't
keep
think
it
that's
in
a
your
good
mind.
Name?
Put
you
it
think
on.
It's a good name?
No, it's a good name. I'm just wondering if people will care by then.
People may care.
We'll have to return to this.
I took him in the Ditka draft and hold.
Ew.
Luis Rengifo.
Interesting. Well, you forgot about Taylor Ward, I think.
No, I didn't forget.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Anything else you have to talk about with the Angels? They're kind of interesting this year. I like their minor league system, but that's not really what we're here to talk about today.
No, I think they're like a low to mid 80s win team, it seems like. Yeah. If health sticks around, you know, no Mike Trout injuries, no Otani injuries, starting pitcher stays relatively healthy. I think it's good that the downfall is probably what will cost them a lot of the games will probably be their bullpen, because it looks pretty bad.
Yeah, and Ausmus is a first-year not a first-year coach, but it's his first year with the team, and you don't really know how he's going to handle the bullpen. Socha was pretty good with it last year. As much as we hate Socha for some of the decisions that he makes, he was pretty good with that bullpen last year, so that remains to be seen.
It only took him 20 years to get that depth.
No, yeah, seriously, no, for real, though. Like, it only took him 20 years to get there, but he did have a good season with the bullpen, and he got fired for it, so that's great.
Oh, ending on a happy
poor guy. He's like, I finally get this, and they're like, all right, good, so we're gonna move on now, right? You conquered your dream, and now we're good. See you, Socha.
Oh, you know, a DL player that we forgot is Keenan Middleton.
Yeah, that's when is he supposed to come back?
Probably in like June.
So that clashes with your boy Butchery. But I don't think he's going to take over. I think Buttrey's better.
That's kind of a risk with the closer role. But yeah, I think if Buttrey already has the closer role locked down, it won't matter by then.
Yeah, because his cost doesn't really matter. I mean, Middleton, nothing really. He's good, but he's not, you know, amazing. So
in totality with the Angels, draft Justin Upton, draft Otani,
draft
Buttrey, and draft Mike Trout.
Yeah, yeah. If Mike Trout falls to you, draft Mike Trout, please. You're not missing anything. Taylor Ward,
Trevor Cahill, draft Trevor Cahill.
Haney and Skaggs, don't overlook them.
And Tommy La Stella.
Oh yeah. Well, Taylor Ward kind of. Well, I don't know. Yeah, Tommy La Stella and David Fletcher. Don't forget about them too. So yeah. So. We like a lot of guys, Walter. Maybe we should get on this podcast and talk trash about a whole bunch of players at one point.
You should have heard me on the Orioles podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, I could imagine. You know I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, well, It wasn't pretty.
and as it shouldn't be. But yeah, Angels should be okay this year, as they always are. They're very vanilla, but they have Mike Trout, so that's fun. And Ohtani. On that note, though, I think we'll get out of here. And I'm not sure what team we're doing next, or if we're doing... Are we doing another team?
Yeah, we have the Nationals and we have the Yankees.
Oh, awesome. That should be really fun. I can't wait for that.
I signed you up. I made sure to get us the Yankees for you.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So make sure you're subscribed for that. Make sure you're subscribed for all of our other team preview podcasts, our prospect podcasts. We have all sorts of stuff going on right now. We have like multiple podcasts coming out a day over on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. So check that out and go follow us on Twitter. I am at Paul the Martin, and Walter is at Real Fake Walter. And we're gonna get out of here. Till next time, bye.